name. Amen. It's very important this morning that I kind of go back and set our context for our passage. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is talking about the joy of unity. And he's saying to the Philippians who were having problems with unity, if you've been with us on Sunday mornings, there were two women at least in the church that were fighting with each other. Of course, that doesn't happen anymore. These two ladies were arguing, they were fighting with one another, and Paul is dealing with that issue, and he says, look, there needs to be unity. And there are two things that will bring unity in any group, any organization, especially the church. Number one is like-mindedness, that we think the same. And as Christians, we ought to think the same. We ought to think what Jesus thinks. The more we know God's word, the more we grow like Jesus Christ, the more we'll think like Jesus. And the second thing is that we learn to put others first. We learn to be considerate and we learn to be concerned about other people's needs and life. Paul mentioned that in verse 3 and 4. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also the interests of others. One of the great problems we have in this world is selfishness. God, through Paul, says, look, turn away from selfishness and think about the needs of others. And that's the exact example that Paul gives beginning in verse 5 of Jesus, where he says Jesus did not consider his position with God something to be held on to, but he gave it all up that he might come to this earth and die for our sins. And that is exactly what Christmas is all about. I mean, I love to look at the lights. I don't like to decorate. I told our couples class that this morning. I'm not into decorating. I'm into sitting back and watching Connie decorate. I enjoy doing that. We put Christmas music on, and she decorates, and I watch. I'm not into, you know, doing all that stuff, but I like seeing it. But all that's meaningless if Christ didn't come to the cross and die for our sins. And that is the perfect example of someone looking out for other people's interests and putting themselves last. Think about that. God did that for us. And then beginning in verse 12, he talks about us working out our salvation. And within context, part of working out our salvation, if you look at that through verse 18, which we looked at last week, is that we quit complaining about life. We quit murmuring and muttering like the Israelites did in the Old Testament. We quit kind of looking at our own thing, and you know, that's what someone who complains does. A complainer is a selfish person. A complainer looks at life or looks at their own life and says, it's not the way I want it to be, so I'm going to complain. Find a person who looks at the needs of other people and puts themselves last, and you will find a person who does not complain. So Paul tells us to do that in verse 12 through verse 14. And then beginning in verse 19, Paul gives us two more examples of people who put others first and put themselves last. First one is a guy by the name of Timothy. So number one this morning, have a genuine interest in others like Timothy. Have a genuine interest in others like Timothy. Notice verse 19. Kibbe read it. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. So remember, Paul is under house arrest. He's not allowed to go anywhere. He's chained to Roman soldiers. He's there because he has preached Jesus Christ. But he wants to know what's going on in the Philippian church. He had been part of starting the church. So he decides to send Timothy. Notice he says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon. Paul always sought God's leading in his life and ministry. And anything he did it keeping in mind that he only did it if God allowed it. So he says, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. The reason for sending Timothy is he wanted to learn more about what was going on in the church. He wanted Timothy to be a help in the growing ministry of the church. And I want you to notice, he says, one of the reasons he wants to send Timothy is so that he himself would be cheered. The word cheered here is a word that means good-souled. He's hoping that when Timothy goes to the church, he might hear good news about what's going on there. And the result would be that Paul himself would be good-souled. He'd be cheered up. And I believe he sent Timothy there that they might visually see an example of someone who put the interests of others before their own interests. In fact, Paul was doing that very thing. We'll see in a minute that of all the people that work with Paul, that serve with Paul, that spend time with Paul, the one who was probably closer to him than any other person was Timothy. And here he is under house arrest, not knowing whether he's going to live or die, getting ready to go to trial, and he sends the closest person he has to the Philippian church. Why? Because he lived out what he preached. He lived out the fact that we ought to be concerned, we ought to have interest in other people, and we ought to put ourselves last. And that's exactly what Paul did. So he sends Timothy. Notice verse 20. For I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. No one like Timothy. Literally of equal soul, having the same mind or attitude. I have no one that thinks like Timothy. He's probably referring to all the people who were there with him in Rome. And Timothy is one of them. He says, look, of all the guys that are here, there's no one like him who really has a genuine, the word genuine here in this passage means true. He has a true interest in you. Therefore, Paul is sending him to the Philippian church. He cared about them. He lived out verse 3 and 4. Of all the people that were still with Paul, Timothy was one of those guys that really had an interest in them. He looked beyond his own interests, and he cared about them. Why don't you notice also, verse 21, he was committed to Christ. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But couldn't that be said today? Everyone looks out for his own interests. I wonder this morning, could that be said of you? That you look only for your own interest? The only thing you care about is what matters to you? Paul says, I got no one like Timothy. Here's a guy who really cares about you, and that's what this word interest means. It means to care. Here's a guy who really cares about you. There's no one else like him in my group that really cares about Jesus Christ and cares about you. I wonder this morning where your heart is. Do you have a heart that is kind of stuck on all the things that are going on in your life? Or are you involved in what's going on in others' lives? You know a way to tell? Are you praying about the things that only matter to you, or are you praying about the things that matter to others? Of which maybe have no relationship to you at all. When you get in conversations, do you only talk about the things that matter to you and you don't give other people a word in edgewise? Are you a complainer? Complainers tend to be selfish people. Paul says, look, I want to send Timothy to you because he's not like the world.
He's the guy who really cares about other people. He's the guy who really cares about you. He's the guy that really cares about what matters to Jesus Christ.
For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's not part of that crowd. Timothy was focused on the things of Christ. Timothy was focused on what Christ wanted, not just what he wanted. How did Paul know that? Notice verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel.
Timothy proved himself. I know the kind of heart and kind of guy he is because as I went out and served God, Timothy was right alongside of me and he served as a son serving his father.
Proved himself. The word prove means having stood the test. And the result is approved character. He was trained and tested alongside Paul in the work of the gospel. Could you imagine working alongside the apostle Paul? All the shipwrecks, all the beatings, all the things that he went through, and Timothy was right there with him. He was loyal and submissive. He was like-minded and teachable. He faithfully did everything Paul asked him to do. He was not like Miriam and Aaron. You remember them? They complained to God about Moses. Thought that they were equal with Moses. He was not like John Mark who deserted Paul. He was not like Demas who also deserted Paul because he loved the things of this world. He was not like others who did not support Paul, we're told in 2 Timothy 4, and deserted him. Timothy was there every step of the way. And every step of the way, he showed himself as one who cared about others. Now, remember who it is that is judging the character of Timothy. It's the Apostle Paul. Paul said in the book of Romans, I wish that I could be cut off for the sake of the Israelites, my brethren. What he's saying there is, I wish that I could take their place in hell if I could do that. If I could go to hell instead of them and they could go to heaven and take my place, Paul said, I wish that that could happen. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not there. I honestly can't say that. But it's the guy who said that, that said that Timothy had a genuine interest in the concerns of the Philippians. Do you have a genuine interest in others? Have you ever noticed that some people only care about others as it relates to them? You know the old saying, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. They're saying is, I only care about you if you could do something for me. Do you care about others even if they can't do something for you? Have a genuine interest in other people, like Timothy did. In fact, I want you to notice verse 23 and 4. Paul says, I hope therefore to send to him to you soon, or as soon as I see how things are going with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Paul is awaiting trial. So he's saying, as soon as I find out what goes on with this trial, then I'll immediately send Timothy to you. I hope to do that as soon as I can. But in Timothy's place, I'm going to send someone else. Now watch this guy. Verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Say it with me. Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. I am not saying that again. From this point on, his name is going to be Rhody. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Rhody,
my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Here's point number two. I want you to listen closely. Spend your life for others like Rhody did. I want you to underline a couple of statements. In verse 25, underline this last statement in the verse, whom you sent to take care of my needs. The Philippians knew that Paul was under house arrest, so they sent Rhody to take care of Paul while he was under house arrest. Skip down with me to verse 30, and we'll get to this verse in a minute. But I want you to notice verse 30, because, and here I want you to underline this, he almost died for the sake of Christ. He almost died for the sake of Christ. Now skip back with me to verse 4. And I want you to underline the entire verse because it really tells us what this chapter is about. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Don't look at your own interests, but look also at the interests of others. Skip down, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then underline this, verse 7. But made himself nothing. These statements, if you underline these statements, they tell you what this entire chapter is about. God, through Paul, is saying, look, you need to be interested in other people. You need to put yourself last. Jesus is the example. We need to work out this attitude, this heart out. We need to work it out in our salvation. Timothy did this very thing. And so didn't Rhody. Epaphroditus. He worked out this very same thing. Notice his credentials, verse 25. But I think it's necessary to send back to Rhody. Why? He's my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. He was a soldier in the cross, a soldier to get the gospel out, not with swords and spears, but with words and character and life and preaching the gospel. Who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. You know, this whole chapter just bleeds. It just pours forth people who were interested in other people because of Jesus Christ. This word messenger is the word apostolos. It means apostle. Here it's not used of those 12 apostles, but here it's used of Rhody being sent as a messenger of the church to help take care of Paul. Why? Because the Philippians cared about Paul. We have a ministry in our church that does that very thing. Our compassion ministry that does things to show people that our church cares. And so many other things that we do as a church. When we go to the Scranton Rescue Mission, we're telling those people there that we care about them. Our church does many things like that, but let's go beyond the church and think of ourselves individually. Are you the kind of person that others would label caring? Or when people think of your life, do they think selfish? They had looked upon Paul's needs and did the very thing that Paul said in verse 3 and 4. Notice verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Can you imagine that? Think of this. The Philippians send Rhody to Paul to take care of Paul's needs. In some way, somehow, and Paul doesn't tell us, but somehow Rhody just about died. He became ill. He got sick. And then he is distressed because he hears the Philippians found out that he was sick. This is the kind of guy that so cares about others that when he finds out that others realize that he's sick and now they feel bad that he's sick, he gets distressed.
You know, there's some people, all they want to do is tell you about how bad their gallbladder is. You know, you're with them 2 seconds and you've got an earful of every little rotten thing that's going on in their life. Here, Rhody, he's not concerned about that because he's not selfish. He feels bad they even found out he was sick and now they feel bad. He didn't want that to happen. Paul's sending him because he's distressed over hearing that they found out about his sickness. You know, this word distress, there's 3 words in the Bible that are translated distress. This is the strongest of those words. It is the same word that is used of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's really hurting. He really, really feels bad that they feel bad that they hear he's sick. See, that's the attitude of someone who cares about others and put others first. Well, you notice Paul says that he almost died. Notice that. He almost died. Verse 27. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. The word almost means to place nearby. So if you think it through, what happened is Rhody was placed nearby. He's sick. He was placed nearby death. He was so sick, Paul says he was put right alongside death. In other words, he almost died. The only thing that saved him was the mercy of God. Somehow God stepped in his sickness. He should have died, but he didn't. And God stepped in and he lived. Paul says that it saved Paul himself sorrow upon sorrow because Rhody was a very good friend of his, partner in the ministry. Verse 28. Therefore, since all this is true, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. And honor men like him. Isn't it crazy that we honor men like Tiger Woods? Isn't it crazy that we honor all these athletes and different people that are out there, all these people in Hollywood, and we honor them, and they live the very life that stands totally opposed to Christianity. And then we find out where they really are at. And why should we be surprised? Paul says to them, look, we need to honor those who serve God. We need to honor people who put themselves last and put everybody else first. We need to honor people who are truly caring. Verse 30. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give. Probably meaning that they couldn't be there physically, so he was out there doing the work. He was out there serving Christ. He was there side by side with Paul. And notice, he almost died for the work of Christ. Think about that. Most Christians today, they go to church if they've got nothing else to do. Most Christians pray today if they're not too tired. Most Christians will think about reading God's Word if there's not something good on TV. But Rhody almost died for the work of Christ. He was the kind of man that we need today. He was a man's man who put Christ first, put others second, and put himself last.
but all his hopes, all his desires, all his wannabes, and he did it for the work of Christ, but all them behind. Some people won't give you the time of day because they're too busy taking the time of day for themselves. He almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his very life. The word risk means to expose to danger. Don't know where the danger was, but somehow he exposed his life to danger. All you got to do is read about Paul's life, and you can probably imagine what happened to him. And he did that to help Paul, and he did that because he was concerned about Jesus Christ and his ministry. So what's going on here? Paul says, look, you need to have unity. If you're going to have unity, you need to be like-minded. The way to be like-minded is to think like Jesus. And if you're going to have unity, you need to put others first. You need to take yourself and put yourself behind everybody else and put others first. Jesus is the example. We need to work out that heart attitude in our salvation, in our Christian life. And if you want a real life living example, Philippians, I'm sending Epirodius to you, and I'm going to send Timothy. And you can see with your own eyes what that kind of lifestyle looks like. And I would say to you this morning, look around at people you know that truly care about others. Those are the kind of life that we ought to emulate. Those are the kind of lives that we ought to honor. Those are the kind of lives that we should stand behind and follow as they follow Jesus Christ. Take all your selfishness, throw it out the window. Let's pray. Father God, we pray this morning that your word would reach our attitudes, our heart, our behavior. And I pray, Lord, that anyone who is here this morning who is a complainer would realize that that is nothing more than selfishness. I pray, Lord, that anyone here this morning who is selfish and always puts himself first, or most of the time puts themselves first, I pray, Lord, they would realize the sinfulness of doing that, and that they would line up behind Jesus, and they would line up behind Timothy, and they would line up behind Epirodius, and I pray, Lord, their life would change. Help us, Father, to all of us, help us, Father, to see when selfishness rears its ugly head. And I pray, Lord, that we might discipline it out of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.